Hey, thanks for listening to Car Talk. Now, if you're looking for new shows and stories to help drown out your Pontiac Aztec's noises during your end-of-summer road trip, check out the NPR One app for your phone. You'll find great hand-curated artisanal podcasts, even Car Talk. Find NPR One on your app store. That's NPR-O-N-E. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Women's Studies Department here at Car Talk Plaza. My brother's been studying women for years from behind those dark glasses.
You know, I mean, we have done some joking recently at the expense of that other gender.
Well, what do you mean we, Kimo Sabe?
You haven't participated?
I've just sat and listened like every other person in the country
especially,
who's been incensed and outraged.
My wife. But in the interest of fairness, I thought we ought to do something a little different.
What, like stuff a rag in your mouth?
No, I have here quotes. I would call them women's wisdom. And we have even attributions, so we know who said all these things. For example, I'm not offended by all the dumb blonde jokes because I know I'm not dumb. And I'm also not blonde. Dolly Parton.
Oh, God.
Here we are. Lily Tomlin. Things are going to get a lot worse before they get worse. A male gynecologist is like an automobile mechanic who never owned a car. Carrie Snow. I don't know who you are, Carrie, but that's good. Who's Karen Leshin? Never heard of her either.
Don't know. But if she has something important to say, don't let that stop you.
35 is when you finally get your head together and your body falls apart. Whoever thought up the word mammogram? Every time I hear it, I think I'm supposed to put my breast in an envelope and send it to someone. Jan King, whoever you are. So I hope I've redeemed myself just a little bit.
Assuaged
all the anger.
Yeah.
The vitriol. The viciousness.
Yeah, that's fat chance. You got a long way to go, baby. Well, if you want equal time, or better yet, if you have a question about your car, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Where are you from?
Well, I'm calling you from Irisburg, Vermont, but I actually live in our fair city.
Really?
Yeah.
Irisburg, Vermont.
So you're vacationing in Irisburg?
Yes.
Great. What's it near, Irisburg?
Well, it's about 20 miles from Canada.
Oh, it used to be Iceberg, Vermont, but they didn't get any tourists, so they changed the name.
That's why it's nice to go to.
Which fair city are you from, Boston?
Cambridge.
Cambridge.
Yeah.
What can we do for you, Nance?
Okay, well, this is a story. I have a Ford Festiva, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
On June 30th, I was driving back from Worcester, and when I got to the toll booth on the turnpike, I stepped on the brakes and the pedal went down to the floor.
Not good.
And so I had about 1 second to decide, should I pull over and get towed, or should I keep driving and go to the garage where I had all the brakes done 2 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Excuse me? You were going to continue with no brakes?
Well, I see, when I pumped the brakes, the car actually stopped.
Of course, got it.
Right.
And you were encouraged by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. When people have a choice between possible death
or inconvenience,
they will choose possible death.
Yeah, well, I figured I wouldn't have to step on the brakes again until I was off the highway.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so don't keep us in suspense here.
Right.
Did you make it or did you get killed?
No, I made it. I had a very exciting half a mile from the exit to where the garage is, and walked into the garage, and I was shaking. And I said, you know, this is what just happened. I don't have an appointment, but, you know, you guys did do my brakes 2 years ago, and, you know.
So you're going to help? You're going to hold them responsible for what they did?
Of course.
That's right.
Why not? Someone's going to be to blame.
So they said, no problem. You know, we can look at it in about 10 minutes. So I sat down, and about 20 or 25 minutes later, they called my name, and I went up, and they said, well, you know, we took it out, and there's no problem with your brakes. It wasn't doing what you said it was doing.
Yeah.
So here are your keys. So that was 6 weeks ago.
And it hasn't done it
since.
Well,
I've been afraid. I've only driven 200 miles since then.
Okay.
So how did you get to Iceberg, Vermont?
In a different car.
Of course.
Good thinking.
Good thinking is right.
So anyway, my question is, am I nuts to be driving this, and what should I do?
Take it to a different place.
Gee. Okay.
I heard a little voice in my earphones.
Yeah?
It must have been Dougie saying, answer the question.
No, that was your conscience.
You know, we've been on vacation for a while, Nancy. You may have figured that
out. Yeah.
And we're a little rusty. But I do have an answer.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
What happened was your brakes overheated. And when they overheated, the brake fluid began to boil. And it was probably a hot day when you were driving the car. And you had been driving it on the pike for a while. And whatever was stuck and caused the brakes to overheat and thus the fluid to boil got unstuck and cooled off everything when you got into the gas station.
It didn't get unstuck, but everything cooled off at least.
Uh-huh.
Everything cooled off enough so that the brake fluid was no longer boiling and the brakes were restored to their previous splendor.
Uh-huh.
So you either have a stuck caliper or a stuck emergency brake, which can also cause this,
uh-huh.
or a clogged brake hose.
Uh-huh.
There's a brake hose that's clogged either because the rubber has deteriorated and inhibited the return flow of fluid after you've applied the brakes.
Uh-huh.
The other possibility, of course, is the master cylinder is no good. I should mention that.
Right.
So they should check those things, and one of those things is going to come out positive.
Even though the brakes have been working now.
Yeah. And
sure,
the reason
they would work fine.
Is you haven't driven it far enough and hard enough to have the thing overheat.
Yeah, I mean, if you want some excitement and you want to really prove to yourself that we're right, just go back to Worcester.
Better than that, drive up Mount Washington.
But put your affairs in order before you do it. So, I mean, it will probably be okay driving around town. But who knows when it's going to do it.
Right.
But it was foolish of them to have sent you out the door, especially when you told them that the brakes had failed.
Right. Yeah, well,
I mean, what did they think was going to happen?
And that's why I said the first thing you have to do is go someplace else.
Okay.
See you, Nancy.
Bye, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Stu Hancock. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hi, Stu.
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
Okay, here's the situation. Here's what happened. I want to find out what I can do.
Yeah.
I've got a 1984 Nissan 200SX, and I really love the car. It's got 120,000 miles on it, and it really has never missed a beat.
Yeah.
Anyway, about a week ago, I forgot to add oil to the car, so I called my girlfriend back at the house. I called her from work, and I said, when you get up, can you put a quart of oil in the car? I left it sitting on the dashboard. And she said, sure. So she came down to where I worked down in Bethesda afterward, and she had apparently done so. I asked her if she'd put the oil in the car, and she said, of course she had. And she said it didn't take very much.
Let me guess.
Oh, the radiator.
Well,
oh,
she's on the other end of the line.
I can tell.
I can hear her on the other line. I was going to guess radiator or gas tank.
Well, either
I'm not that dumb.
Which
would have been kind of a real disaster. But then she said it didn't take very much, and that the oil looked real clean on the end of the little dipstick that was attached to the filler cap.
Oh, power steering.
Power steering.
Bingo. That's not bad.
Is my steering going to go up in a cloud of smoke?
Yeah.
How much did it take?
Probably only. Go ahead.
A couple. Oh.
Yeah, we want to talk right to the perpetrator.
A few little slurps in.
Slurps.
A few slurps.
How big? A slurp is like 2 ounces.
Yeah. 3 or 4 ounces. I looked in the oil container afterward, and it didn't take very much.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Now, how you've driven with this with this mixture?
Yeah, probably a week. This is a lot of silence, guys.
Oh, you're done? Well, we're just trying to figure out how to break it to you.
So, well, I mean,
it's going to cost you about $5,000.
Engine oil is not going to do the power steering pump much good.
Yeah.
The question is, how much damage can it do? And the reason for the silence is I don't know how much damage it can do, but I know
it's
because
none of us has ever done anything this bonehead before.
I mean, you're going to be real dumb to do something like that.
No, we're only kidding. This has been done many times before. As a matter of fact, just recently, we had a customer that did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a he. And,
yeah.
Vindication. And nothing at all happened. What we did, however, was we drained it out and flushed it through a couple of times
with clean power steering fluid. In other words, exactly. We opened the system, we let everything drain out, we filled it with clean fluid, ran it, drained it out again, and then we did that a couple of times. And
how tough is it to drain?
How tough is it to drain? Well, it's actually pretty easy.
If you guys tell us where the little hole is.
Well, it isn't
exactly a hole.
You have to remove one of the hoses.
What's your name, Stu's girlfriend?
Carla.
Carla?
Yeah.
Carla, don't worry about this. This is nothing. On top of which, if it were something, this car is ready for the boneyard anyway. So, don't worry about what you did. Who cares? It's only a car.
It's not time to get a new guy, then?
Well, it depends on how he takes this. If he can't take a joke, and he can dump the car, and you can dump him.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds fair.
But have the thing, you go to the gas station and have them do it. Tell them you want it drained and flushed. And don't worry about it. And incidentally, you should check the dipstick because maybe you are low on oil now that you didn't add it to the right place.
Yeah, I actually got around to doing that. Yeah.
How much oil does this jalopy use?
Oh, it uses a quart about every 3,500 miles.
Oh.
That's nothing.
Nothing. So
it's still running real, real well.
Oh, yeah.
This is simple.
Yeah. I don't think anything is going to happen. I think you're probably in good shape.
Yeah, because it's so little. I mean, if you had put a quart in, which would be ridiculous because how could it hold a quart? But if it were all that much of engine oil, then it would probably ruin everything.
And if you had put
ounces,
if you had put it, for example, in the brake fluid, that would have been a disaster. But you didn't do that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that was
so
good.
So, Carla, when you bring this car down to get it flushed out,
take it.
Tell them that your boyfriend did it.
Oh,
see you later, folks.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK
or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julia from New York.
Julia?
Yes.
From New York in general?
I'm from Manhattan.
Yeah, the real New York.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, not originally, but I'm here now.
And you drive a car?
No. God, no.
No.
No, this question actually has more to do with my parents, who live in Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
And they have a 1984 GMC Suburban.
Yeah.
And recently it's become on its last legs. And my father has decided because that instead of possibly turning it in or looking for another car, he would rebuild this engine. Therefore, he bought himself a new engine, and he took it upon himself to replace this engine.
Oh, so he bought the engine in a crate. He's going to transplant.
Yeah.
He's going to do this himself?
He's doing it with a friend, some friends.
How old is Dad?
Dad, if I tell Dad's age on the news, on the radio, he'll kill me.
Well, do it in scientific notation.
give us a...
Is it like 0.65 times 10 to the second?
Is he retired?
No.
He's not?
No.
Is he over 50?
Yes.
Is he over 70?
No.
No, that's fine. That's close enough. Okay. He's nuts.
Well, see, I know that, and you know that.
Yeah, no, actually, I don't think
that, but...
I don't think he's nuts. I think this is a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Well, here's the thing. He's been, working on it. He's worked on it for a couple weekends now.
That's all?
Well, let me back up.
Yeah.
He had the engine sitting in their warehouse. They own their own store, and it was sitting there for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he finally got around to starting doing it, and he's having problems. And
of course.
I'm very worried about what this is going to do to my parents' marriage.
I think you're all wrong here, Julia.
Okay, why?
Because there is nothing that your mother would like more than to get your father out of the house. I mean, you ask any 50s-type age woman. What would you like most in the world? A fur coat? A Lincoln Continental? A Mercedes? Or get your husband out of the house? And
there's not a day
women...
that goes by that my mother doesn't call me and ask me to take my father away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Don't you want your father to stay with you for a couple of days?
Can you do something with him for a couple of weeks?
So there is nothing that would make your mother happier than having your father be out in the garage with his buddies, drinking beer and smoking cigars and reading books.
Wiring diagrams.
Actually,
something
he's
like
read
it.
The wiring diagrams, and it's him and this guy and their dog.
Yeah.
In a warehouse.
Yeah. Oh, in a warehouse.
In a warehouse.
So he's not even stinking up the garage with this.
No,
they got a warehouse to do it.
No, they have a warehouse that they're doing it in on the days off.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Right now, there are shivers running up and down my spine because that's what I dream about.
I mean, there isn't a guy listening.
Never seen this warehouse. Don't dream
that
hard.
There isn't a guy listening on the entire planet who isn't saying, a warehouse? A dog? His buddies?
No, because you know why?
Smoking cigars?
It satisfies the hunter instinct in all of us guys. I mean, what could be... He's hunting.
Hunting the wild...
Hunting
the wild suburban.
Transplant.
That's what he's doing.
He's hunting
and what could be better than having your compatriots and a dog? And a couple of Cuban cigars. Or a couple of Cubans.
Yeah.
See, the problem is, I'm here, and they're there, so I don't really know exactly what's going on, except for what I am informed of.
Well, here's what you do. Start calling your mother once or twice a week, and don't say anything about it. Just talk about the usual things that you talk about, and try to notice over the course of the next couple of months whether she has a new lilt in her voice, if she's happier, if she starts smiling and laughing a lot. And you know, once in a while you say, well, how's Dad? And she'll say, and that's it.
And it makes I'm going to predict it will strengthen their relationship.
In the long run, this will have a very positive impact on their relationship.
Okay.
This is great.
Right, every old geezer needs a Suburban. I'm going to get one for my brother in the morning.
Hey, thanks for calling, Julia. Keep us posted.
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
Interesting.
Well, very interesting.
Yeah.
And very important, I might add.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Did it have to do with three clams in a martini bar?
No, that was the joke that Dad told us.
There was
no puzzler last week, but we do have some very interesting things to discuss when we come back.
And I take it that will be in just a minute?
You'll take it correctly. We'll be right back.
Engine sits behind me. Gas tank at my knees. The car smells like gasoline, but I keep it clean. Hurtling mass of metal, yeah, you're going down the road doing 60. Hurtling mass of metal, yeah, you're going down the road looking nifty.
And even though the planet Mars turns around and scoots away from Earth as soon as it hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast comes from Blue Apron, who knows that incredible ingredients make incredible meals, even when I get a hold of them. Blue Apron works with a community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, sustainable fisheries, and ethical ranches to deliver perfectly portioned seasonal ingredients and easy-to-follow recipe cards right to your door. You can't screw it up unless you use motor oil instead of extra virgin olive oil. Choose recipes based on your preferences with no weekly commitment. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free, plus free shipping, by visiting blueapron.com/cartalk. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and more hate mail.
Well, this is not really hate mail. I would like to solicit our listeners' opinion on this matter. It is hate mail. We got a...
Directed toward us.
Is it Tom and Ray?
Oh, I thought it was generic hate mail.
Oh, no, this is us. Dear Tom and Ray, I will not divulge the name of this automobile dealership.
Uh-huh. It's okay.
But here's what it says. The purpose of this letter is to express our strong disapproval of the article that we read in the newspaper today. It clearly shows automobile salespeople in a very bad light. Here at blah, 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 we are respected and professional salespeople. We act fairly. We treat our customers well. We have loyal customers, blah, 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 blah. And we don't appreciate this type of reference.
Now, what you're referring to
is... I'm going to read a little brief part of this.
This is an article that we wrote.
In our newspaper column, which appears in seven or eight newspapers around this fine country of ours, we had the following letter. A woman wrote in saying that she had her car at a dealership, and while it was there, it had to be there for a few days, they found a rat in the heater box. Remember this letter?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were trying to figure out how the rat got in there, blah, 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 blah. And we said we thought the rat got in at the dealership. And we said There's only one way to find out if the rat got in at the dealership, and here's what we wrote, and this is what they're taking offense at, and I would like to hear our listeners comment on this. There's only one way, I'm quoting now, Ray said.
Oh.
Notice whenever we get into real trouble,
yeah,
it's you. There's only one way to find out if the rat got in at the dealership for sure, Maxie. Ask for a description of the rat. If it was wearing plaid pants, white shoes, and a little white rat belt when they pulled it out, I would say it's definitely a dealership rat. Now, these guys...
they can't take a joke.
They took offense at that. Now, I ask, is that something to take offense at? I mean, I think it's perfectly reasonable. Was wearing plaid pants, white shoes, and a little white rat belt. I thought that was kind of cute.
Just felt right. I don't know.
It just didn't feel right.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Karen from Arlington, Virginia.
Hi, Karen.
Karen, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm actually talking to you from Washington, D.C., and if you suddenly hear the noise of small children, it's because I'm in the middle of my day camp.
Cool. Okay, and you're not a lawyer or a politician, is that correct?
No. I'm a camp director.
Excellent.
A camp director, okay.
Excellent. So what can we do for you, Karen?
I have a Ford Taurus station wagon that has a mysterious shaking problem. It only happens in highway driving after the car has been, you know, going at fairly high speeds for, say, an hour or so. So I cannot reproduce this for my mechanic, and they don't know what the heck is wrong.
And what does it do exactly?
It starts, the car just starts shaking, and it's a very scary feeling. I mean, the entire car vibrates. It really sounds like something's coming loose, or, you know, the whole engine's going to fall off, or a wheel's going to fly, or
but
something.
When you stop, obviously the shaking stops.
It completely stops.
And then,
I sat there the first time it happened, and I didn't know what to do, and I thought, well, I'll try to start it again, and then it just was fine.
Yeah. And what was the weather that day?
Actually, it was bright and sunny and lovely.
Yeah, that'll do it every time.
I don't think weather was related.
Okay, do you have any theories?
Well, my husband...
Yes, we sure so.
My husband, the physicist, has a theory.
Of course.
Oh, great.
He says it has something to do with resonance. And I say, resonance? And he says, yeah, you know, it's like the momentum in a swing.
Yeah.
And I say, I don't get it.
Yes, sympathetic vibration.
Yeah, but does he have any... We know that, but does he have any idea what's related to time?
No, he told me to call the car guys.
What kind of physics does he do?
Astrophysics.
Well, no. Actually, he was
professor.
Quantum theory, quantum mechanics.
Oh.
That kind of stuff.
You got to buy a Volkswagen Quantum then, and he'll be very good at it.
No. He's no longer a physicist, but that's what he was when he started out.
See, well, I think he may be right in some way. The first thing I'm leaning toward is a bad tire, oddly enough. And I'll tell you, I had a similar experience with Dodge Caravan I had.
You notice when I started to say this, before I said time, what I started to say was temperature.
Temperature.
Yeah, and I like that.
But I don't forget the brand of the tires. I won't mention the brand name of the tires that I had on there. But I bought them brand new after the original ones wore out. Because they was a national brand, and they had a big ad on TV.
They weren't Italian or French.
They were American-made.
Yeah.
They had rocks in the name. Stones.
Oh.
Something like that.
Ah, yes.
So I buy these tires, and of course I have them balanced and the whole bit, and new valves put in. These tires were wonderful when I first got them, and then they went out of balance, such that when I drove the thing, it would vibrate. I take them back, I have them rebalanced. And to make a long story short, I had them balanced about 35 times.
And that was the first 2 months.
And it turned out that every time I drove for an extended distance, they got worse and worse and worse and worse. But if I drove a short distance, even at high speed, they were often fine. It was as if when they heated up, they deformed.
Ah.
And they went out of balance. And then when they cooled down, they were okay. And, of course, during which time I refused to believe it was the tires. I balanced them myself with my own equipment and then went ahead and replaced axles and blah, blah, blah. And finally, in desperation, I bought two new tires for the front. and the problem went away forever.
Yeah. So
does it
like
matter?
It.
I mean, how do I know which tire, or are they all bad?
Well,
start with the front ones, because if it's vibrating that violently, it's happening in the front.
Probably.
Okay.
And if any of the tires are questionable because of their age or wear, buy two new ones and put them on the front.
Okay.
And put the next best two on the back and put the last best two in the trash.
But I would certainly, before you spend any money, and unless you have an obvious bad one, I would certainly just rotate them front to rear.
Okay.
Put the two rears in the front and vice versa, because it may change the dynamics of it such that you notice a huge difference in where the vibration is or its intensity, and that will tell you a lot.
Yeah.
If that isn't it, I suspect then you have a brake that's sticking on, and the longer you drive it, the more it's sticking. And either be a bad caliper, and if one brake were to stick, it would make the car go...
Now, both of these things are related to temperature. That's what the key is.
And
what's
time.
Happening. Well, as you drive, something's happening. So if you have a caliper that sticks, little by little, the friction of that pad on that rotor is going to make horrible things happen, because it's going to heat up and it's going to what? Expand.
Right.
And it's going to grab that wheel unevenly, and it could make it. So you could have a bad caliper, or you could have two wheels or more sticking due to a faulty power brake booster, and we've seen that too. But I would look at the tires first.
And I think what we've said here is that no matter what it is, your husband was wrong.
I'll tell him that. He'll love
to hear that. See you, Karen.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's tough living with someone who knows everything.
My wife.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is George from Parker, Colorado.
Hi, George from Parker, Colorado. What's up, man?
Well, I've got this Ford F-150 4x4.
Yeah.
And this thing, I think, is vapor locking.
Uh-huh.
I'll be driving along, and then the thing will just cut out. It'll sputter. I'll let it sit for 20 minutes. And more recently, I've taken to carrying a 5-gallon bucket around in the back of it, and I just throw that over the top of the engine, kind of cool it down a little bit. And
yeah.
Then it starts right up. And I've got a friend of mine who fancies himself as a bit of an auto expert.
Yeah.
He maintains that it can't vapor lock because it's fuel injected.
Well, that's not entirely true, but it's a heck of a lot harder for a fuel injected car to vapor lock.
Well, am I causing any damage to this thing by just throwing a bucket of water on top of the engine?
Of course you are!
Like, what? Isn't it? It's a 4x4. You see these things on the commercials driving them through creeks and stuff.
Look, you could have shrinkage if you use the cold water.
Now, no, the danger with throwing cold water on a hot engine is you could crack the block or the heads.
Unlikely, though. I mean, because like you said, they drive these things. If you're chasing a water buffalo and you have to drive through a stream, you're not going to worry about cracking a head or a block or a manifold.
Right.
If we're vapor lock, this would be doing it when you drove it, let it sit, and came back to it and tried to start it an hour later. This is conking out while you're driving it.
It sputters. It, coughs a couple times.
Yeah. Does it wheeze, cough, wheeze, sputter, all that? Sounds
yeah,
like my brother.
Well, boom, you know,
yeah.
Wait, like that.
But after you throw the cold water on it, does it start?
Oh, yeah.
Every time?
Yes.
I think the problem is one of two things. I lost my train of thought. I'm having trouble coming up with even one of them now. You could have either a bad fuel pump, which could cause sputtering, wheezing, coughing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and when the thing shuts down finally, or you shut it down, and it cools off, it begins to work properly. That's an easy test.
I see.
The other possibility is that it's a faulty electronic ignition module.
I see.
Those go all the time. And
all right.
It's very temperature dependent.
Uh-huh.
Here's what you're going to do, George.
Yeah, what's that?
You got the next time, don't throw the bucket of water on it. You need an assistant who is going to crank the thing over for you, and you're going to see if you have spark.
Okay.
By pulling off one of the spark plug wires, sticking a screwdriver in there, and grounding the screwdriver blade.
Right.
And you'll see a spark jump from the blade to this piece of metal to which you're grounding it.
Right, I know.
And you'll hear a snap, snap, snap.
Yeah.
And you'll get an idea of how far the spark can jump, which should be like a half an inch or more.
Oh, geez, yeah.
When the thing doesn't start, you are then going to check for spark again.
Okay.
If you have the same spark,
uh-huh,
then you'll know it isn't that, and you'll know it's the fuel pump.
Right.
And if you don't have spark, or it's not with every turn of the crankshaft,
right,
then you'll know it's the spark.
All right. You know, this kind of brings to mind when I was growing up in Pittsburgh, my dad had this old 46 Oldsmobile, which used to vapor lock. And a friend of his told him to put a half of a grapefruit, maybe you heard of this before,
oh,
on
yeah.
the top of the sediment bowl.
It's on page 22.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this does have all the symptoms of vapor lock, but as my brother says, it's very unlikely that it is vapor lock.
I'll do the spark test then.
See you, George. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time for freshman orientation at our tow truck driver's charm school?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we hunt down a previous caller to see if the advice that we gave was really great.
Or just grating. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Ed from New Jersey. And get this, not only did Ed call Car Talk a few months ago, but it turns out we have a much deeper history with Ed.
Oh, you guys did time together?
No. But when Ed was a tyke, many moons ago, he enrolled in a certain adult education course on auto repair that you and I taught back in the 70s here in our fair city.
Oh, yeah, that holistic healing for your car.
It was very popular, yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
The Attorney General certainly showed a lot of interest in us at that time. Anyway, recently, Ed's son was having a bit of trouble with his Ford Taurus that wouldn't start, so he gave us a call. I don't know. I'm going to guess that it's not the connection.
Mm-hmm.
From my vast knowledge of batteries,
okay.
I'm going to say that you need a battery.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. How I feel about this. I sometimes I just have these, you know, the healing of hands. Remember that chapter
you
when
just
we did
just like we did in
the laying on of hands?
Yeah,
remember that?
I remember that. That was my favorite
well,
part.
It's also...
Yeah, remember that part of the class where we all put on the blindfolds and we went through everyone's pockets?
Yeah. I remember levitating that horizon. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite an exciting moment for me. I used to love teaching all those novice mechanics how to work on their cars. Why did we stop offering that class anyway?
It was part of the plea bargain arrangement. Anyway, I guess you told Ed that a faulty battery was causing the starting problems in his Taurus.
Yeah, and if memory serves, you thought it was just the battery cables or a bad connection someplace. Ed, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
Before you tell us whether we were right or wrong or which one of us was right.
Okay.
We want to make sure that our other seven listeners know that we have not spoken since your last call to Car Talk. Is that true, Ed?
Not a word.
Not a word.
We haven't seen each other. We haven't emailed each other. And we haven't laid on hands, so to speak.
No communication, no astral communication. I haven't gotten anything
right.
at all.
And you have not been offered cash or a free stay in the Lincoln Mercury bedroom here at Car Talk Plaza in exchange for some favorable response.
I even had to buy the tape of the show.
Yeah, we don't give away nothing.
Okay, getting away, yeah.
All right, so did you fix the car?
Yeah, we fixed the car.
And?
Well, I got to say that I favored the battery explanation.
Oh, but it's
it
not
just had more elegance.
Yeah.
However... what we did is we placed the cable.
Yeah.
And cleaned up all the terminals.
Yeah.
And that's done the job.
Ha!
Oh!
Ha! An arrow in my heart.
Yeah.
No, that was my ballpoint pen.
Yeah, I was rooting for the battery, like I said. I really wanted it to be the battery, but we still got the same battery, new cable, and we haven't had a problem since.
Well, I mean, I know you were rooting for the battery answer because of the bond between us.
Yeah, well, something like that.
Developed those many years ago when we were levitating the horizon.
Well, actually, you didn't teach the course. It was your brother.
Oh!
You didn't show up at all. There was some other guy that taught part of the course.
Oh, I didn't show up.
No, you weren't there.
Ah, you know who must have?
Ah, that explains
it. Oh, you know why? That's when my brother was in exile.
Oh.
Ah, yes.
The other guy was
Stanley
Zadonik. Stanley Zadonik.
Okay, yeah, some guy with a bald head.
Another guy with a bald head.
And long hair and a beard.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
That was Stanley. Dr. Zadonik, we call him now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what his wife calls him, but we can't get into that. It's a family show. Jeez, well, Ed, I'm not surprised that I was right.
But I'm shocked.
Well, that took care of it. Like, it's been, well, since the time of the call, we took it in the week after.
Yeah.
And it's been fine ever since.
Well, then that was it.
Yeah, every ticket he's got so far, he's driven away from.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's great. All I
can
say,
Ed, is Tara Lipinski's tutu.
Okay.
Thanks for playing.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
See ya.
All right, bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Okay, Tommy, I think it's time for a little station break.
Ah, is this another one of our patented mid-show scissors, as they say?
Yes, it is.
You mean we're going to show them how it's done?
Yes, we are.
I mean, we're going to show them how the big boys goof off?
That's right.
We're going to lose our jobs, aren't we?
Yeah, any day now.
We'll be back with information about how you can get your puzzle fixed this week in just a minute.
You got a full tank of gas. Keys in the ignition. You got a 4-star map, but no sense of direction. You can call a dead end a cul-de-sac, but you still don't know where you're at. You're a broken down car with 30-day tags. You're a broken down car with 30-day tags.
And even those shipwrecked sailors opt to wait for their rescue without a radio when they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Thanks for listening to Car Talk. Now, if you're looking for a show where people tell stories that aren't about putting saran wrap on their sister's toilet, check out StoryCorps. Now, StoryCorps travels the country collecting the wit, wisdom, and poetry in the stories of everyday people and showcases the best of them. Listen in and discover meaning in the words of someone you might otherwise think is a jerk because he cut you off in traffic. Find the StoryCorps podcast now at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. Support for Car Talk comes from LearnVest. LearnVest is an online financial advice company focused on empowering people nationwide to make smart decisions with their money. If you want to know how aggressively to pay down your student loans, LearnVest can help. If you want to know how much you should put aside for saving or contribute to your retirement account, yep, they are on it. If you're a mechanic wondering how many phony clutch jobs you'll have to sell to land that 45-foot Sea Hunter Sport fishing boat, they can help. They'll create a custom financial plan and pair you with a financial planner to help keep you on track. To see a sample plan and get a $50 credit, go to learnvest.com/car. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and S206 forms.
This is sent to us by Larry Sherman from somewhere. The British military writes officer reports called OFRs, Officer Fitness Reports. Mm-hmm. The form used for Royal Navy and Marines Fitness Reports is Form S206.
Aha.
And the following are actual, now, we don't have it on any authority except Larry's here. These are actual excerpts from people's 206s. This officer is really not so much of a has-been, but more of a definitely won't-be. He would be out of his depth in a puddle. That's good. This officer should go far, and the sooner he starts, the better. And here the last two. Works well when under constant supervision. And my favorite, this man is depriving a village somewhere of an idiot. That's good. Depriving a village somewhere. I worked with him, I think. All right.
Those are good. All right. This is normally the time where we give you the new weekly puzzler, but there is no new puzzler this week because our dear puzzler is on summer vacation. Where is it? San Diego?
No.
Chicago?
No.
Atlantic City?
Possibly.
Like the rest of us, the puzzler needs a little time every year to get refreshed, renewed, and with any luck, a little less crummy. So if you're dying for a puzzler, you can try one of our archival puzzlers, which you can find at cartalk.com. And if you'd like to call us about anything, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tim from Seattle.
Tim.
How are you doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, but I have I have a serious Dodge Dart problem that I'm hoping you might be able to help me.
Can we help you? Are you kidding? There isn't a Dodge Dart problem in the world that we don't know the answer to.
Till now.
Yeah, until now.
What portion of the car does it relate to?
Everything except for the last 2 feet of the trunk.
Oh, it's rusting, huh?
Yeah, my car sunk in a lake.
No kidding.
Oh, jeez, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
How did this happen?
My mom flew in from Rhode Island to visit me, and so I was going to take her sea kayaking in a lake here in Seattle. And I parked at the top of the boat ramp and put the kayaks in front of the car at the water's edge. And we slammed the doors after we got our life jackets out of the car, and it slipped from park and ran over a perfectly good fiberglass kayak that wasn't mine and then went swimming.
Just add insult to injury. It destroyed a kayak that you had to pay for. What was your reaction?
Oh, yeah.
What were your first two words? That's all I want to know. Was the first one, oh?
Yeah.
Or holy?
Oh, holy.
By a string.
Did you laugh?
I laughed about 6 days later.
Oh, set long, huh?
It took a
I would have laughed immediately, because that's one of those situations where no amount of grieving can ever reverse the process.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's nothing you could ever do that could undo it.
Look at the combination of
forces. I have a high tolerance for grieving.
Yeah, well. So there it was. The whole thing goes, the engine and all goes right in.
Yeah, it went right in except for the last 2 feet of the trunk, because it actually floated out about 20 feet, and so I was pushing it back in, and then it bobbed a little bit too much. And, of course, it was a nice day, and my driver's window was down, and so when it bobbed that last time...
It went glug, and that was it.
Yeah.
So anyway, they fished it out finally.
They fished it out within a half hour, and I had it towed to my house, and I drained the engine, and I drained the transmission, and I emptied the water out of the float bowl.
How many fish were in it?
There's two carp in the back seat.
Yeah. And then what?
And then on advice from the fellow that towed me here, I didn't do anything for a couple of days. I just left it open, left the float bowl open, the engine open, and the transmission open. And then I...
That was bad. That was bad advice.
Oh, really?
I would have started it right up.
Oh, really?
Sure. Because the water that's in there can't do any damage if you heat the engine up and expel the water.
Yeah.
But you'll never get that fish smell out.
Yeah. No,
so anyway, so you what you did. Okay, and then what?
And then, about, I think it was 2 days later, I cranked the motor via the fan and did that until all the water shot out of the spark plug well.
Okay.
And then I that was it, and I think I let it sit for another day, and then I put oil and transmission fluid back into it, and put the spark plugs back in, and it doesn't even crank. Like, and the battery, I've charged the battery.
It doesn't crank.
No.
Oh, the battery's no good. The battery's clearly no good.
Even though my headlights and everything work.
Oh, I don't know.
When you turn the key, it does absolutely zilcho.
It makes just a tiny click, one click.
Okay, the battery may be no good. You can certainly find that out by having someone come and jump you. But
I also have, another 66 Dodge Dart out in the yard.
Doesn't everyone?
Of course.
They come in pairs.
Yeah.
So that one has a good battery, so I jumped them. You know, I tried to anyhow, and there was still nothing.
Okay, and my guess is take the starter relay off of the other car.
Okay.
And put it on. You know what that is?
No.
I don't either, but I think it's on the driver's side fender or on the firewall. Okay, but you can try just jump, turn the key to the on position, and just jump the starter.
Uh-huh.
You know how to do that? You got two wires in the starter?
Yeah.
Yeah, stick your gold ring and bridge those two terminals.
Yeah, just take a screwdriver and bridge those two terminals, and it should crank. If it doesn't crank, you got troubles in the start. I mean, the starter is all wet, too.
Right.
I wouldn't think that would make it not crank, though. But it might. I guess what I would do if it was my car, I would do a load test on the battery. Find out if the battery...
No, we know the battery's good because he tried the other battery. Put the other battery
right
in it.
No, he didn't try the other
battery. He's going to put the other battery right in it. Don't do any tests. Tests are hard. Right. Tests take time, and for the most part, they're inconclusive. Whenever possible, substitute.
Exactly. This is the modern way. You want to take that battery right out, because if you jump from the other battery,
Yeah.
And the battery that's in there is no good, then you're not going to get anything. You're going to take the remove the battery completely, put the other battery right in there,
okay,
in the car.
Okay.
Then you turn the key. If you still don't have anything, then it's not the battery, assuming you've charged it up.
Uh-huh.
It's therefore the starter.
Okay.
Yank the starter from the 66 and put that one in. It'll start right up. I guarantee
really?
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what are we going to do about the fish smell?
Yeah, I mean,
you can actually smell it from the house now. The car is parked about 30 feet from the house.
Yeah.
And it really, like, especially on a nice warm day, it's really quite a powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's your biggest problem. I mean, the engine is nothing. It's going to run. There's no question about that. The problem always is, what do you do with the interior?
Yeah.
But you have an interior.
I have another interior, only it's a different color, but it doesn't smell as bad.
Yeah, darts don't care about color.
Now, if you take all that stuff out and flip the seats over, expose them to the sun, and maybe hose them down with lye or something like that, and then set them on fire. You'll probably get rid of the smell, yeah.
But you're lucky, because I think the interior of that is relatively easy to replace. I mean, you can rip out the seats and the front seat, the back seat, and all the carpeting in a couple of hours.
Yeah, it looks pretty easy.
Yeah.
But you can't beat good old-fashioned fire for getting rid of that smell. See you later.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck.
Just imagine
that had to have been funny.
I certainly would have.
You would have laughed.
Especially,
if it was my car, you would have laughed.
Oh, if it were your car, I would have been in there releasing the handbrake.
See, now, that wouldn't happen in my car, because
your car couldn't make it to any of the lakes around here.
No, that's not what I meant. It can't pop out of park.
Every car can pop out of park.
It cannot pop out of park.
Do I take this as a challenge?
This is a challenge. I mean, don't forget, the distance between park and not park in the usual car is an inch. But the distance between park and no park in my car is 5 inches. You're going to push that baby all the way down.
I guarantee that I can rig that.
Oh.
And I'll be working on it tonight while you're sleeping. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling you to ask, actually, if I could do some work on my own car.
Sure, go ahead.
It's regarding my brakes, really.
I meant go ahead and do it.
Well, first of all, I want you guys to tell me if it's actually possible that I could do it. Now, I'm pretty good with my car. I have a Honda Civic, and it's a great little car, and I feel really competent. Like, I've changed my own headlights, my oil, flat tires, things like that. But now it's my rear brakes. Well, I think it's my rear brakes. I'm getting a lot of squeaking from the rear.
Yeah.
And
is there some reason that you haven't introduced yourself? I mean, are we leading up to some really personal issue that you don't want anyone to recognize who you are?
No, my name is Kelly McNamara, and I'm calling from Albany, New York, actually.
Oh.
But I'm so focused on my car right now, and these rear brakes are squealing all the time. And I've checked out my front brakes with my brother. He helped me with the front. But the rear, I know, is a bit more complicated. And I'm just wondering if there's any risk of me in doing it incorrectly, the wheels could fly off, or I could do something really harmful.
Sure.
Absolutely. All of the above. Yeah, I mean, there are also some special tools required to work on the rear brakes. The front don't require much of anything. You take the caliper off,
right.
You squeeze the caliper piston in.
You slide out the pads, you slide in new pads, you hope for the best, and you're all done.
You slap the caliper back on, and you get inside, and you pump the pedal, and all is done. It's pretty simple.
Right.
But the rear brakes have an adjusting mechanism. They have springs that hold the shoes to the backing plate. They have springs that hold the shoes to each other.
But none of these are expensive tools, nor are they tools which are very difficult to master. My brother does this job every day.
We do it all the time.
So, I mean, we know it doesn't take much of an IQ to handle it. And
if you can do it, I can.
Of course. And it's not one of those things that requires an inordinate amount of strength.
Yeah, it does require a fair amount of strength, but I'm sure you can do it.
I think you could do it.
But
yes.
I will tell you, to learn to do brakes, I would never, if I was starting to do brakes today,
uh-huh,
and I had to start on Honda Civics, I would have given up and pursued a different career.
I mean, just changing
because they're hard. Little brakes are harder to do than big brakes.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard. I mean, the way the car is designed now, I mean, the oil filter alone is at the bottom back of the engine. I think they're made so you have to go to someone, a professional, you know?
No, well, a professional. Someone stupid enough that he would make a living doing that. That's what it really is. Couldn't make a living any other way.
Right.
I feel like I could do the rear brakes.
Well, I think you could do the rear brakes, too, but I don't think you'd want to learn how to do it in your driveway without any kind of supervision. That's not how you learn things.
Right.
I mean, it would be really great if you could do it with someone who has done it before.
Here's what you do. First of all, you don't need brakes anyway. No, you don't. I mean,
no one does.
No, oh, I don't think
just Kelly.
Just Kelly. No, you don't need brakes because the squealing is being caused by something else.
You think so?
The brakes are not worn out. Yeah, I'm 99% sure. And you, at the very least, you can pull the drums off and check the brakes. All you need to do is jack the car up one wheel at a time, as if you were changing a flat. Right?
Right.
You know how to do that.
Yeah, no problem.
Make sure that you have jack stands.
I do.
Yeah. Don't leave it on that piddly little jack and then pull the wheel off and drop the car on your ankle.
No,
that would hurt.
Okay. No. You remove the wheel, and then you're going to remove the drum.
Right.
With the handbrake released, if you give the drum a whack with a hammer, it'll pop right off.
Uh-huh.
And you can look at the shoes, and if they're at least a 16th of an inch thick or more, well, at least, that
covers
if they're a 16th of an inch thick or more, then that's all right. And it's probably not the source of the noise. Now, you may find out that the emergency brake is sticking or all and all that. But if you have linings there, that's not the source of the problem. But I was going to suggest this.
Uh-huh.
Once you determine that you don't need brakes, at some point in the future you will. And it's obvious you have a burning desire to do this. You need to enroll in an adult education class.
Exactly what I was thinking of Mr. Bruno as we spoke.
Oh, really? They have those?
Sure.
Well, I don't know if they have them in Albany, New York. But
New York doesn't have anything.
I mean, come on. We're the capital of New York State. Of course we have something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you should, if you could find some adult education course that actually is a hands-on course. Boy.
Right. That sounds good. Now, could it be, what would it be if it wasn't? I mean, when I had my New York State inspection, they did clean my brakes. They said, yeah, your brakes are squeaking. We clean them. So that was just in June. And for 1 month I was away, so I didn't even drive it for a month. So could it be like brake dust or something?
Well, it could be the brakes are glazed, and that's what they did when they cleaned them. But at that time, if the brakes were worn out or even close to worn out,
they would have told you.
They would have told you to replace them.
Oh, so really?
You don't need brakes. But as my brother says, if you really got the hots to do something with the brakes, jack it up, take off the drums, look at them a little bit.
But you may not be ready for an automotive repair course. You may want to start out with like a course in Lexan.
No, I think I'm ready for this course.
You're ready for
you
this.
Are. Kelly's
I've been
ready.
With men in a car getting a flat tire, and the two men get out, and they don't know how to change a flat, and I do it. I mean,
good for you, Kelly. Good for you.
I'm ready to learn bigger and better things.
Call the vocational high school in your area.
Okay, sure.
And see if they offer night courses, and I bet you they do. And you can go there, and in 2 or 3 hours, you can take apart your brakes and put them back together, and you'll feel wonderful.
I will, yeah. That's
if you
a
make
great
it
suggestion.
Home.
That's a very good – thanks very much for your time.
All right, see you later.
Thanks for calling, Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another precious hour of your summer listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Baltimore Apple Corps Petit Four Roasted Boar Lobster Thermidor Fat Galore Food Tour, is John Bugsy Lawler.
In the studio with us as we speak.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our audience counter is Hugh Wake. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our director of staff promotions is Anita Butkus. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our staff urologist is Pete Shadil. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother's support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the academics without summer houses moping through Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And by the way,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week, we hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1635, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our dust-accumulating clothing and best-of collections all over at CarTalk.com, where you can also get answers to your car questions. I know it seems unlikely from Car Talk, but
Lurking on the Car Talk community pages are real mechanics who actually know something. Now, if you have a question, try it out. Car Talk community over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's structural engineer calls for removal of a key load-bearing beam just under our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.